God's word this morning. Let's stand. Isaiah 61, some beautiful passage here that Jesus himself later quotes in the New Testament and in his first message ever that he preached. And it's these words: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. It's good to have good news, isn't it? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And folks, you know, the old song, how do you mend a broken heart? There's only one I know who can. It's Jesus. To proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, as our strength comes from him. Father, thank you for truth. Open our ears. Help us not to be dull of hearing. It's a biblical comment that you've given to us to remind us that we can get dull in our hearing. Open our ears to hear wonderful truth you have for us, that our soil is good. It's prepared and ready to receive your truth, and it will bring forth fruit when it is. So we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's an interesting theme that runs through this discourse I read to you. Everyone gets discouraged. Everybody. But sometimes you just have to go on and go forward with your mess. And when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he quoted this passage. It's located in Luke chapter 4, starts at verse 18. And how many know when your heart gets broken, you get very discouraged? If you're a captive in any way to financial distress, to an addiction, it also saps your courage. How many know when you lose someone you love, it's easy to default into mourning and sorrow? Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. So in spite of difficulties, God's made us wonderful promises in Isaiah 61 about even though we have difficulty, God promises to crown us with blessing. God says when you come into his promises, he's got a double portion for you because the anointing breaks discouragement. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will break every stronghold in our lives. Discouragement, however it's arrived at in life, is a stronghold that will bind you. It will steal your purpose for living and your destiny. It will steal your hopes and your dreams. Now, I'm thankful, my wife probably is too, I never had a midlife crisis. When some men reach middle age, if they've not reached their desired goals, they can succumb to depression. And when a man sets out to reach a certain goal, and for whatever reason, those goals are not achieved, then he can become depressed because males draw their esteem from their careers and their jobs and how they identify with work. When a male doesn't achieve those goals, he can easily become depressed. That can become a stronghold in a person's life. It can be a chain in your life that will bind you to such a degree that you can feel like life is not worth living. Satan will align himself against you, and he will do everything to compound those issues. As a female, you know how our culture is. They pressure the female into thinking that every female needs to be married by the time she's 25. And if somehow you don't get there, then society says, how come you're not married? Do you know that you can be fulfilled and fulfilling your purpose while being single? That you don't have to have a man or a woman to fulfill your purpose. You can be happy in the state that God has you in. And if you're pressured to have a man or a woman in your life just to be happy, you can still be miserable after you get married. Yeah. Isaiah tells us that the anointing breaks that yoke. And the anointing, the power of God, the Spirit of God, lift the burdens and breaks bondages. In other words, the presence of God will lift us out of our mess, lift us out of our discouragement in life. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to hear the word of God. That's why we need to be together for worship. We can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're singing about Jesus in our church. You'll hear a lot about Christmas and Christ. Christ is not Jesus' name. Christ is his title. Jesus is his name. Christ means Messiah, anointed one. That's the title that Jesus carries, the anointed one. Jesus, the Christ, is actually the way it should be used, is the anointed one. Jesus, the Christ, will lift the burdens, break the bondages of depression in your life. He's anointed to do that. And when Jesus is invited into your life, he brings the anointing and gives you the ability to overcome every difficulty in your life. You're a middle-aged man and you're not achieving your hopes and dreams. If you seek God with all your heart, he will assist you in achieving the purpose for which he created you. Sometimes that may differ from our hopes and dreams. However, if you're truly committed to God, sold out to God, you're putting him first, the enemy will place you on his hit list to try to hold you down, to try to stop God's plan from unfolding in your life. And if you're fully committed to God at times, even your closest friends sometimes will align themselves opposite you. If you're truly committed to God and the anointing is with you, sometimes family members will align themselves against you because they don't understand what it is you're doing. Because of the anointing that was on Elijah, he won this amazing victory at Mount Carmel. And what a beautiful place to go see. What a beautiful spot that is in Israel. And he killed 850 idol worshipers and false prophets himself with a sword. And afterwards, he was depleted and he grew discouraged. And that shows us that when you're tired and fatigued, you can easily become depressed. So you've got to eat right, rest, and exercise. How many know that's important in your life? Elijah found himself hiding in a cave. How many know that the tendency you have when you feel discouraged is to sit in your home or your apartment alone, pulling the shades and saying, just leave me alone. That's the worst thing you can do. The more you isolate yourself, the more discouraged you become. You got to make up your mind you're going to come out of this thing. You got to make up your mind I'm going to stand on God's word. And when you don't know what to do, you stand on God's word and he'll get you through the discouragement. So tell your neighbor, you have to stand on the word. Elijah found himself discouraged. He was now under threat of death from Queen Jezebel. He's in hiding. He's in a cave. He's blessed of the Lord, but he runs for his life. Ever been blessed of the Lord and you had to run for your life? You found yourself depressed. You did everything you knew to do, but you still found yourself discouraged. You were watching great successes, miracles of God, but you have this threat looming over you. Many seem to be so discouraged today in our culture. Suicide rates are at an all-time high in America. It amazes me how many people are suffering from depression in our community and nation. We need to make up our minds that even though we're going through something, the anointing is stronger than our problem. And make up our minds that even if people we love walk out of our lives, we're going to come out of the cave of depression. We're not going to live there. We need to make up our minds that God is going to turn the thing around in our lives for good. So as you explore the Word of God, you find hidden in it the elements we need to come out. Now watch this. This is an interesting passage. We have to understand with Elijah, it didn't do him any good to feel sorry for himself. There was no benefit in that. There's something inside of us that thinks, if I feel sorry for myself long enough, maybe God will take pity on me. No, God didn't take pity on him when he was self-discouraged. God actually meets him in the cave and says, "What are you doing here?" Okay? Am I preaching right? Then that's not what we want to hear, but that's what God's going to tell us. And I'm telling you, feeling sorry for yourself is a spirit of fear and doubt. And the only way you move God is with faith, not with fear and doubt. When you feel sorry for yourself, what we're really saying is, God, you're not going to work this out. I don't trust you. It's a lack of faith on our behalf. And we've all done that. We've all been there. I remember feeling sorry for myself and thought, God will feel sorry for me. And I was jolted into reality. The Holy Spirit said, "Wait a minute, son, snap out of it. God does not attend pity parties. Don't invite him, he won't show up. So make up your mind to get your faith moving." It's amazing. You sell out for God, and then the enemy attacks. And if you don't think there's such a person as Satan, give your life fully to Jesus Christ and watch what happens. The anointing was on the life of David. He finds himself hiding in caves because of King Saul. He's on a hunt to kill David before he takes the throne. David was so blessed of the Lord, yet while he's out doing the business of God, the enemy walks into his compound at Ziklag and burns down all their homes. I mean, just torched everything, stole all their possessions, kidnapped their wives and their children. David was discouraged until he could cry no more. His men were discouraged until they could cry no more. But then David got up and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And how many know when you lose something that's dear to you, there's a very good chance the spirit of depression will try to get a hold on you. Have you ever been blessed of the Lord and the enemy comes right into your house and steals something you love? Have you ever been anointed by God and the enemy tries to come and steal your finances? Now watch, anytime you have trouble, discouragement's going to try to come against you. You love God, you attend services, but on your way to church, your car breaks down. And that discourages you. And then you go get it fixed, and someone picks you up and brings you to church. And next week, you're getting ready to come to church, and your battery's dead. Am I preaching to myself in here today? Okay. Anytime those kinds of things happen in your life, discouragement will come upon you. And when you're really trying and it doesn't work out, how many know it's very discouraging in life? David had some trouble because the Lord was with him. How many know when the Lord is with you, the enemy is going to target you? But it was the anointing on David that enabed him to kill a 9.5-foot giant. It was the anointing that God gave David, enabling him to have the strength and the ability to use that sling. You wouldn't think a little sling in the young man's hand would ever be enough to take down a 9.5-foot giant. But you see, when God is in your life, you don't need a whole lot. David just used what he had. One great mighty man, warrior of God, just used an ox goad he had in his hand and killed hundreds. He just used what he had. You use what you've got, and God will work through that very thing you have. You don't have to have much, but you have to use what you have. Say, "I am anointed." Yes, and Elijah was discouraged, depressed. In his depression, God said, "Get out of that cave. You don't belong here. Get a flask of anointing oil. There's a young man down in the valley named Elisha. You've got mission to take care of. I want you to come out of that cave, and I want you to go anoint Elisha for future ministry." Now, what's the point? The point is, when you are really in a cave, when you're really trying to duck and run, when you're behind the bars of depression and you don't feel like coming out, you don't know how things are going to turn out, it looks totally impossible, like, "I can't get through this." That's when God says you got to forget about yourself and go anoint somebody else. You've got to forget about what you're going through, and you need to go help somebody else. You have to pick up a towel and start serving in your church. You really don't want to do that because you're so discouraged and you're overwhelmed, and you think, "I've got so many difficult moments in my life right now that I can't do it." You were reading this wonderful book that you finished, and it was about John Osteen's wife. Doty, I believe is her name, right? And she was diagnosed with incurable liver cancer. And she says, I believe you were telling me the story, and she was depressed and bothered and down, but she said, you know what? I'm not going to live like this. And she got herself together and she went and visited other people who are struggling and had difficulty and went and prayed for them and ministered to them and served them. And guess what? She's still alive, healed, cancer-free. You see, you're really too discouraged, you think in your mind, to help anybody, but God says, pick up the towel, begin to serve, use your gifts, help somebody. Join us on a family and adult singles missions trip, as we plan one here in the future. Lead or host a connect group. Do something to help somebody else and watch how discouragement breaks in your own life. We get the focus off of ourselves when we begin to help someone else. And if you really want to get out of discouragement, and some people seems like they just don't want to get out of it because some folks just like having pity parties. You know, I don't like pity parties. I don't want to be in those very long. But some people just kind of seem to enjoy being in a pity party. They enjoy the attention. So they're always just texting somebody on the phone. Let me tell you, girl, let me tell you what she did. She kicked me to the curb. Let me tell you, that one lied about me. That one's, you really don't want to come out of the cave because you really are enjoying all the attention you get when you're still in there. But I'm speaking to people who want to come out of the cave that you're in. We are warriors. And when we're wounded, we fight for one another. We pull one another up. There's a principle in the kingdom of God that we have to understand. Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Principle in his kingdom that doesn't necessarily match anything that we understand in this earthly culture, but this applies not only to finance, but whatever it is you invest in God and his people. There's principle of the kingdom even when we're not perfect. These principles work. Aren't you glad we don't have to be perfect for God to bless us? Tell your neighbor, he's preaching to you. You better get this, right? God's speaking to somebody here. Give. Give. Pick up a serving tray. Give. Join the worship team. Stay. Stick. Even when discouraged. And then give again. Assist in Sidewalk. They gave out over 120 Christmas stockings to needy children yesterday, and blessed others who are far worse off than many of us. Aren't we grateful we can do that? We give, we assist, we join in a connection group, we stay, we help some boys and rangers. Pick up the towel. Do something productive with your life. Elisha began to serve. The young man he found there in the valley began to serve the man of God, the prophet Elijah. He began to carry his briefcase. He began to make his hotel reservations. He began to cook his meals. That's what he did. He served him. He began to wash his hands and his feet. There's real anointing that comes on a person who will serve. In fact, you're never going to have a real anointing unless you are serving. And you'll have people go, oh God, show me my ministry. God, reveal it, what it is I'm supposed to do. Okay, it's a good prayer to pray. Nothing wrong with praying that. But as long as all you do is just pray that prayer, you're never going to see anything. You get up, you find a pitcher, and you begin to pour water on those who are thirsty. Begin to bless the people of God. Begin to get involved. Watch what God does. Amen? Nothing gets revealed until God sees in us a servant spirit willing to do what he asks. Then he opens up other doors of opportunity. You pray, God, show me what to do. And nothing happened. Why? Well, you thought, well, I have to do something. Listen, he's not going to write it on the wall. He's not going to speak in an audible voice. You don't know what to do. Listen, you see the needs around you in ministry, in the body of Christ. You come to Pastor Tyler and say, can I open my home for a connect group? Can I host one? Can I be a co-leader? You go to Pastor Alex or Pastor Kathy and you say, may I assist and impact girls? May I do something with Royal Rangers? And listen, people, you won't just start there. That won't be the limit. You begin there, but you have to get up and you begin to serve. That's when God sees in us a trusted servant's heart. And we begin to do something in our lives, then God can look at us and say, well, I can move them to the next level. The anointing comes by serving. Say, the anointing comes by serving. Amen. Elisha served Elijah until Elijah threw his prayer shawl down from the chariot of fire, and Elisha caught it. If you want to catch the anointing, you've got to get up and serve. That's what Elisha did. Anybody want a greater anointing in your life? The presence of God breaks depression. It turns you loose. Listen, the presence of God that assists you with your financial, and so you're able to use the wisdom of God's kingdom. The presence of God that gives you wisdom when you're raising a family. We need kingdom wisdom, not cultural wisdom, to traffic through some of these areas today. Who wants the anointing, the presence of God, in a greater way? I just told you how. You start by getting up and serving. God anoints his servants. You have to give. And I'm here to help somebody. Today can be your day when things begin to turn. If you decide, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do something for the Lord. It was at Passover supper. Jesus took a towel and he wrapped it around himself and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. He was showing them and us how to serve. You see, he didn't need handwriting on the wall. He was illustrating for them, this is what it looks like to serve. Even if it looks menial, this is what it looks like. The master came to earth to be a servant, he said. He came to serve, and the anointing of the Lord came upon him. It's time for all of us at Calvary to pick up a towel and serve. It's time for everybody to learn to wash one another's feet. We do that by serving each other. In other words, we serve one another. We are involved in his kingdom. We get involved doing something, anything, until God furthers our responsibilities. We stay with what God gave us until greater anointing and open opportunity come. You have to look beyond the circumstance you are in at the moment. You might be depressed over life, but you look beyond where you are. Faith does not look at today. Faith says, wait a minute, I'm making plans. I see them. I know the steps God wants me to take. Quit looking at today and start looking ahead. There are people listening. You got your feelings hurt in some area of life. You were serving. We are servants. We manifest our servant heart or our lack of it when we get treated like a servant. And it's unavoidable. We will be hurt when we serve. You got your feelings hurt, so you quit serving. But we have to do like Jesus, and we have to pick up a towel and go serve. Well, you know, no, listen to me. There was a devil at the table of the Lord when he washed their feet. Judas was a devil, yet Jesus picked up the towel and washed his feet. Will you pick up the towel and serve people who maybe hurt you intentionally or unintentionally? Will you pick up the towel and get back in service? I'm telling you, your anointing and your future depends on it. And if you get back at your place of serving, the anointing will manifest once again in your life. If you quit ministry because you were hurt, get back involved. You know you lost your anointing when you quit serving. Something changed. Your heart changed and you quit serving. Get back in the battle. Let me say, if Elisha can catch the anointing by serving, then you and I can do the same thing. Amen. And if the anointing comes by serving and giving, then that's what we have to do. That's the test. That's how Jesus evaluates. I'm saying that our victory is tied to our giving. Our victory is tied to our serving. And if you really want to see discouragement broken up in your life, just simply start losing your life for his sake. And simply put, we get the focus from off of ourselves and we start helping other people. In Scripture, anytime his people came before God, they brought him a sacrifice. The same principle is in effect today. This time we offer up ourselves as living sacrifices. You cannot come before God without bringing him a sacrifice. Now, I know it's tight, but it's so right. Yeah, your victory is tied to your giving. And the more I help you, the more it helps me. The more I do for you, the happier I become. That doesn't make sense because our selfish flesh wants to protect itself from anything else. But the more I give, the more it helps. As a matter of fact, when I help you, I'm helping myself. And if you truly believe the word of God, you won't just sit there waiting for something to change because God anoints people who have a giving attitude, people who put on a heart of a servant. If you make up your mind, I'm going to start picking up students who don't have driver's licenses, and I'm going to get them to church on Sunday morning. I'll go out of my way and pick up at least one. I know who they are. I have their name. I have a contact. And I'm not just going to selfishly come by myself. They need to be in God's house on Sunday. They don't have a way because they don't have a license. I'll pick them up. When was the last time you picked anybody up and brought them to church? You know, because you remember you prayed one day, Lord, help me get this car and I'll bring people to church. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Oh, my. This is really a faith issue. We'll never find our purpose until we put on the heart of a servant. We will never see discouragement broken until we learn to be givers. We'll never see the anointing come on us in great measure until we get up and we serve. Go to the county jail and be a blessing. Go to the nursing, go there illegally, by the way. Go to the nursing home. Get on the worship team. Get involved with Reality Kids. Find a place to serve. Bring the Lord his tithe and your offering. And when you really get serious, you'll start making these changes in your life. Now, in clinical depression, you'll have days when you wish you could die. As I've done the study and done the research, and we've had that experience with others, clinically depressed people have moments when they wish they could die. In a place where you think you're never going to see daylight again. In a place where you think it's never going to work out. But this I do know, if you'll start giving and start serving and putting God first, he'll begin to turn things around. He'll work anything out. It might not work out the way you think it ought to, but he'll work it out. And it will all be good when God finishes it. God didn't call me to be great. He called me to be a servant. He didn't call me to be a great preacher. He called me to be a servant. He didn't call you to be a great singer. He called you to be a servant. He didn't call you to be a great musician. He called you to be a servant. It's not about us. It's about him. God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for servants, looking for people who walk by faith, not by sight, looking for people who will give when they think they've got nothing to give. Watch out how you think and how you process what you think. My God's looking for people who just pick up a towel. The word says Jesus wrapped himself in a towel. He wrapped the towel around himself so he could go start washing the feet of his disciples. You see, all too often people want to be seen and recognized. They want to get on the platform. I want to give my 2 cents. Listen to me. People who want front and center, they just want to be the attentive one, the one that everybody... Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist to wash their feet. The master, the king of glory, who always was and always will be, the one holy and true Lord Jesus Christ set aside his majesty, and he wraps himself in a towel. And it says in John, he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. And he takes off that towel, begins to dry the feet of his disciples, and as he's saying to them, I want to serve you, and I want you to let you know I'm not here to be served, but to serve. And then he says, I want you to do what I'm doing. I want you to learn how to serve. The word says he took off the very thing that covered him to be a servant. And if we're going to be servants, we have to take off our pride. We have to take off our self-sufficiency, take off our selfish attitudes, strip ourselves of our will and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And make no mistake, when God's working in our lives, people will talk about us. Not always pleasantly. When God's working in our lives, people will fabricate stuff about us. And it's all part of the stripping away of our pride. There's going to be difficulty that strengthens us and toughens us so that the next time something challenging comes our way, we know where to dip in to find the strength to rise up and fight what it is we're fighting now. God will allow those difficult tests so that we don't rely on our self-sufficiency. When God's working in our lives, some people will treat us badly, but it's all part of getting us to humble ourselves and at the same time strengthen ourselves to serve, to know that we're nothing without Him in our lives. Devil's plan is to get you so discouraged, you'll quit. His plan is to get you so discouraged, you'll think, I won't be able to go on. That's why if you're going to get a breakthrough in life, you can't be concerned about other people's opinions. You can't be concerned with what people think of you because you can't please people anyway. And God called you to please Him, not people. And even though God's calling is on your life, there'll be times when you face struggle, storms, and trouble. But you're going to be made over in His image, made over in His character. And as you allow some of this stuff to be stripped away and off of you, you're going to become more and more like Jesus. But you have to wait this thing out and get through the process. You can't run every time it's hard. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You've got to stand fast, even when it's difficult. You have to wait. And process is a part of the plan. Ask Joseph. It was a process to go from that pit in the early days of his life to the palace at the adult level of his life where God had destined him. They had to go through a process to prove his faithfulness to God. Hang on to the Lord. Wait the storm out because in due season, He'll turn the thing around in your life if you've remained faithful. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve others. That's the heart of God. The more we do for others, the more God helps us. The faster our healing comes. So the word says that Elisha ministered to Elijah for years, and then the anointing came on him. We have to begin to serve and forget the timetable. You see, we want it now, or we want to know by this month of next year, I'm going to achieve everything you promised God. We have to serve and forget the timetable because it's on His watch, not on mine. Because God is in charge of our lives. It's a faith issue. Do I trust Him? Maybe you did fall short of some of the goals you set for yourself. But get back to serving God first. Become His servant. Then watch how God turns it around and brings you to His desired end. Present your body as a living sacrifice, because you're never going to see the anointing of God on your life in any measure until you're willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. Take my life. Getting involved in our church. You need to be serving because you need a greater measure of anointing to take you where you need to go. So I'm saying the anointing will break every generational curse. The anointing will break discouragement. The anointing will turn your circumstance around. The anointing will open doors. The anointing will put faith back into your heart. The anointing will position you for a comeback. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you, if you'll pick up your towel and begin to serve, it won't be long, you'll see things begin to turn around in your life. So we need to forget about ourselves and work to help others. Your miracle is always tied to your giving. It's tied to your serving. And when you begin to serve, a fresh blessing from heaven falls on you. And we'll say, fresh anointing is what I feel. It's a fresh anointing that breaks our discouragement. It's fresh anointing that puts hope back in our hearts. Because when the Lord is on our side, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. When he's on our side, no curse can stop us, because no one can curse what God has blessed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. And when you're serving God, you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you fear no evil because he is with you. Some have a wilderness mentality. Always beaten down, always beaten up. People have told you, you can't do anything right. You're no good. What's wrong with you? You grew up with a wilderness mentality. What is that? Nothing ever works out for me. The harder I try, the worse off I get. The more I try to lose weight, the more I gain. That's another message I'll preach. We got Daniel Fast coming up in about a month. But now that you've come to the promised land, God's given you his promises. He's given you an overcoming mentality. I was watching my friend Jason Redmond the other day. He did a clip on one of the social media. And Jay's a great guy. He grew up in an Assemblies of God church in the Carolinas. He went out and joined the Navy, became a Navy SEAL, then qualified later to become an officer because of his education. He said, when I was a Navy SEAL, I didn't need God. I didn't need anything. It was just all about me, all about what I could achieve, what I could do, what I could accomplish, take on anybody, anytime, any place. He said, but when I got stitched by automatic fire in Iraq from the side of my face down across my chest, and I'm laying there in the desert sand bleeding, and I'm bleeding out, he said, I remembered there was a God that I once used to serve, and boy, did I need him now in my life. And I returned in a hurry to that God, and he taught me some lessons that I needed to learn. One was to stop laughing at the Air Force and thank God when they showed up with their C-130 gunship and took out the bad guys. He said, because I couldn't lift my weapon. There wasn't anything I could do. But Jay says, one of the things you need to learn in your journey in life is overcome all. And you can't do that on your own. Listen, you have to do that with the power of the Holy Spirit's presence, who gives you an overcomer's mentality. We're to trade the wilderness mentality for the overcoming mentality. You are overcomers. You may be going through hell today, but it's all going to work out for your good. The Lord will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Because remember, our attitude determines our altitude. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are now more than a conqueror. And God told us he would give us double for our trouble. So after the Last Supper ends, Jesus got up. Sometimes you have to get up from where you are and start to serve. We're going to rehearse that supper tonight. We're going to come to his table. We're going to remember his stripes. We're going to remember the victory he purchased for us by his stripes and wounds. And then we're going to get up from the table and we're going to go serve. Sometimes you have to get up from where you are and start serving. Sometimes you have to say to self, wait a minute. This discouragement is over in my life. I'm going to be through with this depression. I'm through with living the way I've been living. We've got to say dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I'm burying the brokenness of my life. And God is going to resurrect me to a new place in life. That is over. This is new. I don't know about you, but I'm believing God to write some new chapters in my life, because God promised that he would turn my mourning into dancing. And who knows, before it's over, you may still see me dance on this platform. He'll give me the oil of joy. He promised that if I would praise him, that heaviness would lift off of me. I'm telling you, trouble won't last always. You're going through it and it won't last. Just wait the thing out. And you know, you're stubborn, right? But be stubborn enough to wait the test out. And don't panic. Just wait it out. Stop rehearsing all the pain. Let's stop rehearsing that. And look forward, forgetting those things which are behind. I can't fix them. So I'm going here, looking at what's ahead. Stop worrying about who was with you and who isn't. Just get on with the journey. Stop beating yourself up over all the mistakes you've made. Get it under the blood and say, I'm ready for process. Your greatest asset in coming out of the cave is your persistent faith in the Lord. You have to be like the woman with the issue of blood, and you have to press in. Say, I'm half dead. I've got nothing left, but I'm going to grab hold of that hem on that garment. I'm tired of living like this. And you get serious with God. You don't want to serve in your natural self, but I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something. You're like the lepers at the city gate, and all of it is about to come down, and the city's about to lose everything. They're about to be overrun by an adversary, and they're out there because nobody wants them inside the city because they're lepers, and the enemy's coming at them. And they said, hey, you know what? Let's go ask them for something to eat. We can't get anything from the inside because they won't let us in because they're under siege. Let's go ask the enemy for something to eat. We got nothing to lose. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we get up and they kill us, well, we're going to die. But maybe they'll just give us something. You know what? God did a miracle. And they're the first because they decided to get up and say, we're not going to sit here until we die. We're going to get up and go out there. And God gave them the miracle of miracles because they were the first ones to see that God had gone before them and destroyed their adversary. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching for what lies ahead, you press, you target your faith, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Don't look at what you're seeing immediately, circumstantially, but make plans for what God has ahead in your future. Look forward, coming out of the sadness, coming out of the discouragement, because he wants to do something new. The devil wants to shake your confidence. He's trying to get you to quit. That's his goal. Throw in the towel and walk away. You're too legit to quit if you're going to make it. Not going to happen. You may think you're going to die in what you're going through right now, because it feels like that. The darkness is so heavy. You may think, there's no way I'm going to get through this. There's no way I can survive. That life's not worth living one more day. I'm telling you, that devil is a liar. Don't listen to his lies. All he does is bring you hopelessness. Jesus brings you hope. Wait it out. We serve the one who's anointed to heal our brokenness and set captives free. God will bring me through it and out of it, because something is about to change in your life for the good. So stand and give God some praise this morning and thank him with all your heart for his faithfulness to you. Bless the Lord.